You're listening to the Restless Wanderer podcast by Paul Coulter, and this is part 15 of a series in the book of Jeremiah. Jeremiah chapter 26, verse 1. In the beginning of the reign of Jehoiakim, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, this word came from the Lord. Thus says the Lord, stand in the court of the Lord's house, and speak to all the cities of Judah that come to worship in the house of the Lord, all the words that I command you to speak to them. Do not hold back a word. It may be that they will listen and everyone turn from his evil way, that I may relent of the disaster that I intend to do them because of their evil deeds. You shall say to them, thus says the Lord, if you will not listen to me to walk in my law that I have set before you, and to listen to the words of my servants, the prophets, whom I send to you urgently, though you have not listened, then I will make this house like Shiloh, and I will make this city a curse for all the nations of the earth. The priests and the prophets and all the people heard Jeremiah speaking these words in the house of the Lord, and when Jeremiah had finished speaking all that the Lord had commanded him to speak to all the people, then the priests and the prophets and all the people laid hold of him, saying, you shall die. Why have you prophesied in the name of the Lord, saying, this house shall be like Shiloh, and this city shall be desolate without inhabitant? And all the people gathered around Jeremiah in the house of the Lord. When the officials of Judah heard these things, they came up from the king's house to the house of the Lord and took their seat in the entry of the new gate of the house of the Lord. Then the priests and the prophets said to the officials and to all the people, this man deserves the sentence of death because he has prophesied against this city as you have heard with your own ears. Then Jeremiah spoke to all the officials and all the people, saying, the Lord sent me to prophesy against this house and this city, all the words you've heard. Now therefore mend your ways and your deeds and obey the voice of the Lord your God, and the Lord will relent of the disaster that he has pronounced against you. But as for me, behold, I am in your hands. Do with me as seems good and right to you. Only know for certain that if you put me to death, you will bring innocent blood upon yourselves and upon this city and its inhabitants, for in truth the Lord sent me to you to speak all these words in your ears. We'll pause there after verse 15 of Jeremiah chapter 26. Now, we've seen already hints in the book of Jeremiah at the opposition or references to the opposition that he was to face. And here in chapter 26, we have a short sermon that Jeremiah preaches at the temple and in the courts of the Lord's house, as God commands him to. Very clear that the Lord commands him to do it. And it's a warning. It's a warning as to what will happen to them if they don't repent, if they don't listen to God. They will become like Shiloh. The city will be a curse. In other words, the city will be destroyed. The temple will be destroyed. Even the place of Shiloh were an earlier location for the worship of God. In the time of Samuel, that's where the ark and the tabernacle was based. But by the time of Jeremiah, Shiloh was a ruin. The temple was now in Jerusalem. But God is saying through Jeremiah that Jerusalem will go the way of Shiloh, but can't be destroyed if they don't repent. Now notice it's a conditional statement at this point. We're earlier again than chapter 25. Chapter 25 is based in 605 BC, but now we're back in the reign of Jehoiakim, the son of Josiah. And the reaction of the people, the priests and the prophets, again, notice, and we've seen this before, how those leaders, including priests, and remember Jeremiah was from a priestly family himself, but those people reject the words of Jeremiah. They don't even pay attention to the fact that it's a conditional prophecy. They just say, well, you're prophesying against this city and this temple. It's very similar. It makes us think, perhaps, of the Lord Jesus who spoke, well, didn't speak against the temple, but was judged as speaking against the temple. Matthew 26, 59 to 62, and again in Acts 6 with the apostles. The suggestion that they would speak against the temple was part of the reason that Jesus was put to death and the apostles were threatened with death. And here with Jeremiah, the people are incensed that he would speak against the city and against the temple. But as we've seen, God had said that he would make Jeremiah like metal, strong, resilient, and here Jeremiah stands strong. He refuses to budge. He warns them that God is the one who has sent him, and that if they judge him, then there is a judgment that will come upon their head. Innocent blood will be upon them. And so Jeremiah is put on trial. Let's read on in verse 16. Then the officials and all the people said to the priests and prophets, "This man does not deserve the sentence of death, for he has spoken to us in the name of the Lord our God." And certain of the elders of the land arose and spoke to all the assembled people, saying, "Micah of Moresheth prophesied in the days of Hezekiah, king of Judah, and said to all the people of Judah, 'Thus says the Lord of hosts, Zion shall be ploughed as a field, Jerusalem shall become a heap of ruins, and the mountains of the house a wooded height.' Did Hezekiah, king of Judah, and all Judah put him to death? Did he not fear the Lord and entreat the favour of the Lord? And did not the Lord relent of the disaster that he had pronounced against him? But we are about to bring great disaster upon ourselves." There was another man who prophesied in the name of the Lord, Uriah, the son of Shemaiah from Kiriath-Jearim. He prophesied against this city and against this land in words like those of Jeremiah. And when King Jehoiakim, with all his warriors and all the officials, heard this his word, the king sought to put him to death. But when Uriah heard of it, he was afraid and fled and escaped to Egypt. Then King Jehoiakim sent to Egypt certain men, Elnathan the son of Achbor, and others with him, and they took Uriah from Egypt and brought him to King Jehoiakim, who struck him down with the sword and dumped his dead body into the burial place of the common people. But the hand of Ahikam, the son of Shaphan, was with Jeremiah, so that he was not given over to the people to be put to death. This is really a remarkable event, isn't it? You can see the drama. I mean, you could see it played out as a film. Here is Jeremiah on trial, and maybe you've got a flashback to this other poor prophet, Uriah. Well, maybe whether he was before or after this event of Jeremiah, we don't know, because... But he was a faithful prophet who spoke also in the reign of King Jehoiakim. And we're told that he ended up being killed. In fact, not just put on trial in Jerusalem, but actually Jehoiakim sent a special mission of agents to Egypt to bring him back. I'm envisaging that as them sort of smuggling him out of Egypt. But of course, it might have been with the cooperation of the Egyptians. But he's brought to Jehoiakim and struck down with the sword and dumped unceremoniously into a common grave. In other words, the threat to Jeremiah is very real. He wouldn't be the only prophet to be bumped off in this way. But thankfully, there are people who are fair, unlike the prophets, the professional prophets and the priests, who were incensed at what Jeremiah had said. The elders who sit in court upon him are fair. And they look into the evidence. They look back to the prophet Micah of Moresheth in the time of Hezekiah. And this is the Micah who wrote the book of Micah in the Old Testament. And these elders remember or look at the record and know that Micah had prophesied something similar against the city of Jerusalem. And yet Hezekiah didn't turn against him and put him to death, but actually turned to God. It was that prophetic ministry of Micah that helped to make Hezekiah turn to God, Hezekiah a righteous king. Now it's quite striking, isn't it, that it's the elders of the people who are having to tell and remind the leaders, the spiritual leaders, the prophets and priests, those who should have been leading the way for the people. they are the ones who are turning against Jeremiah and against the word of God, and it's the elders of the people who are saying, no, God has spoken in this way before. And there's also one man who's singled out in verse 24, Ahikam, the son of Shaphan, who is with Jeremiah and who preserves him and protects him against the possibility of a death sentence. It's very, very sad, isn't it, when those who are in positions of leadership are the very ones who are rejecting the word of God. And when it's the ordinary people, and yes, they're elders in this case, but who are having to preserve faithfulness to God. But it's a striking challenge to us, isn't it, to ask, what is God saying in our time? Where are the faithful people who are faithfully proclaiming the word of God, and how might we stand with them? Might we be an Ahikam to come alongside someone who is a faithful teacher of God's word, a faithful servant of God, to encourage them, to give protection to them, just to spur them on to keep going when the opposition is coming thick and fast, perhaps to supply some of their material needs. How can we, as God's people, be sure that we aren't rejecting the challenges of God's word about the things that we don't want to be challenged in? And of course, if you are in leadership as a pastor or an elder of God's people, how can you make sure that you keep them faithful to the word of God? Let's read on then in Jeremiah chapter 27. In the beginning of the reign of Zedekiah, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, this word came to Jeremiah from the Lord. Thus the Lord said to me, make yourself straps and yoke bars and put them on your neck. Send word to the king of Edom, the king of Moab, the king of the sons of Ammon, the king of Tyre, the king of Sidon, by the hands of the envoys who have come to Jerusalem, to Zedekiah, king of Judah. Give them this charge for their masters. Thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, this is what you shall say to your masters. It is I who, by my great power and my outstretched arm, have made the earth, with the men and animals that are on the earth, and I give it to whomever it seems right to me. Now I have given all these lands into the hands of Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, my servant, and I have given him also the beasts of the field to serve him. All the nations shall serve him and his son and his grandson until the time of his own land comes. Then many nations and great kings shall make him their slave. But if any nation or kingdom will not serve this Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, and put its neck under the yoke of the king of Babylon, I will punish that nation with the sword, with famine, and with pestilence, declares the Lord, until I have consumed it by his hand. So do not listen to your prophets, your diviners, your dreamers, your fortune tellers, or your sorcerers, who are saying to you, you shall not serve the king of Babylon, for it is a lie that they are prophesying to you, with the result that you will be removed far from your land, and I will drive you out, and you will perish. But any nation that will bring its neck under the yoke of the king of Babylon and serve him, I will leave on its own land to work it and dwell there, declares the Lord. To Zedekiah, king of Judah, I spoke in like manner. Bring your necks under the yoke of the king of Babylon and serve him and his people and live. Why will you and your people die by the sword, by famine and by pestilence, as the Lord has spoken concerning any nation that will not serve the king of Babylon? Do not listen to the words of the prophets who are saying to you, you shall not serve the king of Babylon, for it is a lie that they are prophesying to you. I have not sent them, declares the Lord, but they are prophesying falsely in my name, with the result that I will drive you out, and you will perish, you and the prophets who are prophesying to you. Then I spoke to the priests and to all this people, saying, thus says the Lord, do not listen to the words of your prophets who are prophesying to you, saying, behold, the vessels of the Lord's house will now shortly be brought back from Babylon, for it is a lie that they are prophesying to you. Do not listen to them, serve the king of Babylon and live. Why should this city become a desolation? If they are prophets, and if the word of the Lord is with them, then let them intercede with the Lord of hosts, that the vessels that are left in the house of the Lord, in the house of the king of Judah, and in Jerusalem may not go to Babylon. For thus says the Lord of hosts concerning the pillars, the sea, the stands, and the rest of the vessels that are left in this city, which Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, did not take away when he took into exile from Jerusalem to Babylon Jeconiah, the son of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, and all the nobles of Judah and Jerusalem. Thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, concerning the vessels that are left in the house of the Lord, in the house the king of Judah, and in Jerusalem. They shall be carried to Babylon and remain there until the day when I visit them, declares the Lord. Then I will bring them back and restore them to this place. Now, this chapter opens with quite a remarkable another enactment by Jeremiah. We've seen a few of these already, haven't we, with his loincloth. Now God tells him to make himself straps and yoke bars and put them on his neck. And whether it's to give them to these envoys, or more likely, I think, as the ESV puts it, to send word, you'll notice a footnote in verse 3 that says it may be that he was to give these to them rather than just to wear them as he spoke to them. But I think more likely Jeremiah is to wear them and then to give these words to these envoys from kings surrounding Judah. And the message that he's to give is that they better come under the yoke of Nebuchadnezzar. A yoke, of course, is an image in scripture of the reign of a king, of the authority of a king. To come under the king's yoke is to come under his rule and authority. This, I think, underlies the Lord Jesus' words in Matthew's Gospel, where he says, it's recorded in Matthew 11:28, take my yoke upon you, learn from me. My yoke is easy, my burden is light. In Matthew 29:30. And you see it also elsewhere in the Old Testament, perhaps most clearly in Kings, 1 Kings chapter 12. After Solomon dies, there's this moment where his son Rehoboam decides, on the advice of the younger men, to make their yoke heavier, because the people have come and said, your father made our yoke heavy, and please lighten this yoke. And he says, I'm going to make your yoke heavier. The yoke is Rehoboam's authority as king and the way he rules over them. And likewise, the yoke that Jeremiah is wearing is indicative of a yoke from Nebuchadnezzar to come under his authority, put his yoke on their shoulders and serve him in the way that oxen or horses in a field would be yoked to the plough. And then the Lord Jesus says in Matthew's Gospel, take my yoke upon you. It's an image of his kingship as well as of our intimate relationship with him as his servant. So they better take the yoke of Babylon, and the message comes to Zedekiah himself to say he better do it too, because there's no option about this. And these false prophets are saying, well, the vessels that were taken away to Babylon by Nebuchadnezzar when Jehoiachin was taken into exile, those vessels are going to come back. The prophets say there's going to be a reversal of the misfortune for the people. But no, Jeremiah says, God says through him, that's not what's going to happen. The remaining vessels in Jerusalem are going to be taken into exile when the city is destroyed, which of course is what happened in 586, and Zedekiah and the others who are with him will be destroyed. Let's read on then into Jeremiah chapter 28, verse 1. In the same year, at the beginning of the reign of Zedekiah, king of Judah, in the fifth month of the fourth year, Hananiah, the son of Azur, the prophet from Gibeon, spoke to me in the house of the Lord, in the presence of the priests and all the people, saying, thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, I have broken the yoke of the king of Babylon. Within 2 years I will bring back to this place all the vessels of the Lord's house, which Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, took away from this place and carried to Babylon. I will also bring back to this place Jeconiah, the son of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, and all the exiles from Judah who went to Babylon, declares the Lord, for I will break the yoke of the king of Babylon. Then the prophet Jeremiah spoke to Hananiah the prophet in the presence of the priests and all the people who were standing in the house of the Lord. And the prophet Jeremiah said, Amen. May the Lord do so. May the Lord make the words that you have prophesied come true, and bring back to this place from Babylon the vessels of the house of the Lord and all the exiles. Yet hear now this word that I speak in your hearing and in the hearing of all the people. The prophets who preceded you and me from ancient times prophesied war, famine, and pestilence against many countries and great kingdoms. As for the prophet who prophesies peace, when the word of that prophet comes to pass, then it will be known that the Lord has truly sent the prophet. Then the prophet Hananiah took the yoke bars from the neck of Jeremiah the prophet and broke them. And Hananiah spoke in the presence of all the people, saying, Thus says the Lord, even so will I break the yoke of Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, from the neck of all the nations within 2 years. But Jeremiah the prophet went his way. Sometime after the prophet Hananiah had broken the yoke bars from off the neck of Jeremiah the prophet, the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah. Go, tell Hananiah, Thus says the Lord, you have broken wooden bars, but you have made in their place bars of iron. For thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, I have put upon the neck of all these nations an iron yoke to serve Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, and they shall serve him. For I have given to him even the beasts of the field. And Jeremiah the prophet said to the prophet Hananiah, Listen, Hananiah, the Lord has not sent you, and you have made this people trust in a lie. Therefore, thus says the Lord, Behold, I will remove you from the face of the earth. This year you shall die, because you have uttered rebellion against the Lord. In that same year, in the 7th month, the prophet Hananiah died. Ending there at the end of chapter 28. Now, we've already seen in chapter 27 that there were a number of prophets. And again, remember, they're probably a professional guild of prophets in and around the temple. We get that in the Old Testament, that there was a kind of class or guild or school of prophets who were trained. And now we have one of those individual prophets in sight, Hananiah, and we have his encounter with Jeremiah. He gives the false prophecy that we've already seen in chapter 27. The yoke of Nebuchadnezzar will be broken, but he does his own little bit of enacted prophecy by breaking the yoke that Jeremiah is wearing. And he says, look, it's not just the vessels. In the last chapter, we saw that the vessels, the prophet said, would return to the city. But he says, no, Jeconiah is going to come back, and all of the exiles are going to come back as well. And Jeremiah's response is very interesting, isn't it? He doesn't argue with Hananiah. What he simply says is, may the Lord do so. He of course, Jeremiah would love it if that was a true prophecy that that Hananiah is making. But, he says, isn't it effectively, verse 8, isn't it the role of a prophet to prophesy judgment? It's interesting, in the Old Testament, that's effectively what the prophets did. When a prophet came on the scene, it was because God's people had departed from faithfulness to his covenant. They were enforcers of the covenant, as some scholars have called them. They were people who called the nation back. And so the prophets almost always, almost without exception, had a message of judgment. Yes, there were messages of encouragement that came through Isaiah, for example, and particularly after the exile, encouragement to build and rebuild the temple. But always there's an element of warning, isn't there, against sin and the judgment that's to come. And so Jeremiah says, well, you're the prophet, verse 9, who prophesies peace, so let's see if it comes true. And it's after that that Hananiah then breaks the yoke bars from Jeremiah's neck. and speaks again, but Jeremiah just leaves. He doesn't get into a debate. And it seems that it's because God has not given him words to speak in response. Jeremiah is a prophet who's always speaking what God has given him and only what God has given. And so it seems that he doesn't speak at this point, but verse 12 tells us it's sometime later that the word of the Lord comes to Jeremiah. And it's a message that reaffirms the message that has already been brought by Jeremiah, that the yoke of Nebuchadnezzar is real, but it's intensified by saying you might have broken the wooden yoke, but Nebuchadnezzar's yoke will be metal, iron, unbreakable. An iron yoke. And there is a judgment for Hananiah, the false prophet, who has made the people trust in a lie. He will be removed from the face of the earth. And that's what happens in the very same year Hananiah dies. So I think here that Jeremiah is a great example to us of self-control, of constraint, and of faithfulness to God. It's a good lesson to learn. There will be times, you know, when you are faced with people who unfairly accuse you. It's happened to me in ministry. Who say things that are untrue, unkind, humiliate you the way Jeremiah, who's only wearing the yoke because that's what God told him to do, is humiliated. Well, it's good to learn to trust in God, to wait for his timing, not to retaliate. It's very Christ-like, isn't it? The Lord, who when he was brought like a sheep before his shearers, he was dumb. He didn't retaliate to those who put him on trial. He simply obeyed his Father. I want to learn that too, to be self-controlled, to know how not to speak. Not always to feel that I have to speak. Certainly not always in my own defence, but only to speak the words God gives me. Jeremiah is this beautiful blending of strength. We saw that when he was put on trial, remember? Like iron, he just simply stated the truth and said, do with me what you will. Submitted to the trial of that court, but God delivered him. And here, when he's humiliated, he doesn't retaliate. He doesn't get into a debate or a shouting match or an argument. He doesn't move in self-defense. He waits until the Lord speaks. And then again, boldly and clearly and truthfully, he speaks the words that the Lord has given him. And so the people will go into exile. They will come under the yoke of Nebuchadnezzar, that yoke of iron. And as we saw in the previous chapter, it said that Nebuchadnezzar's son and grandson would follow after him. That was back in chapter 27, verse 7. All the nations shall serve him and his son and his grandson until the time of his own land comes. And this is relating back again to what Jeremiah has previously been told by God, that the exile will be 70 years. So there will be that period of time. Now, if you look at the reign of the kings who came after Nebuchadnezzar, you'll see that his son did reign after him. And then there was a period of turmoil and of war and changing kings. But then came Belshazzar, the last king, who is described in the records historically as the grandson of Nebuchadnezzar. He was probably not biologically Nebuchadnezzar's grandson. It may be more that he was married to Nebuchadnezzar's granddaughter, but he was counted as a grandson of Nebuchadnezzar. And he's the one who, of course, was overthrown by the Persians. So again, this wonderful detail of the fulfillment of what is going to come, 70 years, and the Nebuchadnezzar, his son and his grandson, and then the end of the exile will come. God is sovereign. God is in control. Let us, like Jeremiah, be people of integrity, of self-control, of boldness to speak the truth, but of wisdom to know when not to speak, of knowing how to stand strong for the honour and reputation of God, and not to become embroiled in trying to defend our own reputation or certainly our own emotions. Jeremiah is a great example to us as we trust in God and seek to serve him in our time.